You'll turn back to the book of Exodus, in chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31, verse 12 to 18. We come this evening to think of the Sabbath rest given by God. The Sabbath rest given by God. Today marked a sad day in our country's history. This was the first time in its 38-year history that the Belfast Marathon has been run on a Sunday. And there was some debate over that decision to move the marathon from the May Day Monday to the Lord's Day. But the voices and the concerns of Christians were overlooked in favour of changing the day. I have to admit that I was hoping that the marathon would be a complete flop, so that we could say, "We told you so." But I don't know if that was the case or not. Clearly, moving the marathon to this day, to today, and probably the fact that the route has changed a bit, actually increased the numbers of those who applied to run by 60%. And they were expecting, or they expected there to be 18,000 runners taking part. So is this then not a good thing that the marathon moved to this day? Think of all the positives that have come from moving the marathon to the Sunday. Many more runners. That means a lot more money has been raised for needy charities. Local businesses will have benefited from trade, and they're going to benefit tomorrow as roads are open for traffic instead of being closed for runners. Also, churches were being encouraged to move their times of worship so that they could avoid road closures. And then they were also being encouraged to open their doors and they could hand out water to runners. Churches could be involved in some way in the marathon today for those that were along the route. Well, this is all good for the community. So does it really matter that the marathon was run today when we have all of these positives, or possible positive outcomes? Surely the organizers have been vindicated, or they will be vindicated, in moving the day to today. Well, look at Exodus 31, verses 12 to 18. We saw this morning that God gave gifts to certain men so that they could work on the construction of the tabernacle. And these men were going to be hammering and molding gold, silver, and bronze. They'd be cutting precious stones. They would be sewing and weaving, chiseling and polishing. All of this was for the sake of creating something good, something beautiful and holy to the Lord. That was going to be the outcome. Surely there was no more worthy cause amongst the people of Israel than being involved in the construction of the tabernacle. Here was the tent of meeting, the very presence of God Himself. Here they could approach. And so the work that went into the construction of the tabernacle was so important. The end goal was glorious. Yet what does God say about this work? Look at verse 13. "Above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations." Verse 14. "You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people." This passage appears directly after God has said he's given gifts to these men to work on the construction of the tabernacle. "But above all, Moses, keep the Sabbath." Although the end goal was to be something glorious and wonderful and majestic, God was saying, there's something important you have to remember. Not on the Sabbath. No one was to work on the construction of the tabernacle on the Sabbath day. It doesn't matter how glorious and marvelous the end goal is. It doesn't matter that it's for something beautiful and for the glory of God. The end does not justify the means. You shall not misuse the Sabbath. You're to keep holy the Sabbath. You're to rest on the Sabbath. Doesn't matter that the marathon was run today. Think of all that good. Think of how glorious the end is. All that money raised for charity. A community coming together. How wonderful. People out being fit and active. The number of people who travelled over to Northern Ireland. The income that's been brought to our society because the marathon was moved to the Sunday. That's a glorious, wonderful thing. But the way to that matters. God says, my day matters. My day is to be kept holy. The end does not justify the means. They were to work on the tabernacle. It would be glorious and beautiful. But God says, but not on the Sabbath. So this evening, let's consider the Sabbath day as we have it here in Exodus 31. Let's consider what it means. Let's consider why it is so important to keep the Sabbath. And the first thing I want us to note is that it is instituted by God. The Sabbath is instituted by God. God Himself has decreed that this day is to be kept holy. This day is to be kept separate. We know that in Scripture. Way back in creation, in the beginning, God created light and He called it day. And the design and the structure of the created universe is that there was evening and there was morning the first day. And that pattern continues through the next 5 days of creation. 6 days in total when we have evening and morning and then the seventh day. And we're told on the seventh day that God rested from His creating work. 6 literal 24-hour days and God rested on the seventh from everything He'd made. And so He blessed the seventh day. He made it separate. He sanctified it. And that's what God is telling Moses here in Exodus 31. This is what I have done. I then set it aside. This is patterned and given to us in creation. God has put it in place. Adam and Eve and all others who were among God's people before God giving the law in Exodus. They had this day instituted by God, given by God. Even before the Ten Commandments, it was unmistakable to them that they were to keep the seventh day. That's why when we come to Exodus and in the Ten Commandments, God doesn't say, keep the Sabbath day. He actually says, remember the seventh day to keep it holy. It's already in place. Already in place in my creation ordinances. Keep this day special. And look here in chapter 31, verse 13. God says, above all, more than this, pay attention to this. Keep the Sabbath as a continual command throughout the generations. Which commandment is repeated the most often in Exodus? We could think, well, it must be you shall worship no other gods. The people were in Egypt. All those false gods, that one could be in there. And then later on we're going to see how they make a golden calf. The commandment that is repeated most often is this one, the fourth commandment. Keep the Sabbath day. If we look through the Exodus account, we have the specific reference to the Sabbath day. Look at chapter 23, halfway through the chapter, just before God promises that his people will enter into the promised land. And this is important. We're going to note this later on. Before they enter the promised land, God says, keep my Sabbath. Keep it. Then again in chapter 24, verse 16, the covenant is confirmed and God speaks to Moses and he speaks to him on the seventh day. And on the seventh day, on the Sabbath, God begins to give instructions for the tabernacle. This day is important. God is addressing his people. When the instructions for the tabernacle are given, God again reinforces the Sabbath here in chapter 31. So before the instructions are given, God has referred to the Sabbath day. And as Moses is up the mountain, on the seventh day, God speaks to him. And now all the instructions are given. God finishes by saying, above all, keep my Sabbath. And then before the construction of the tabernacle, in chapter 35, we have Sabbath regulations. What commandment do you think God is stressing to his people? Commandment concerning the Sabbath day. God has instituted this. God has given it. And it's to be a continual command throughout the generations. It's wonderful in chapter 31 that God has given gifts for serving. Bezalel, Oholiab. But God has also given a day of rest. A day of worship in his presence. You might say to me, but that's Israel, and that was the seventh day. We're here on the first day of the week. Why has that come about? Or how has that come about? Why have we moved the day from the seventh to the first day? Well, this is the day on which Jesus Christ rose from the dead. This is the day that in the new covenant is known as the Lord's Day. It's interesting that Adam and Eve, what was their first full day on earth? They were created on the sixth day. Their first full day on earth was a day of rest, the Sabbath. That God had set aside. And I think that's important. And then when we come to the New Testament, we see that as Jesus Christ brings about the recreation, new life, as he defeats sin and death, we have it on that first day of the week. And so the church gathers together on the first day of the week. The Apostle John in the book of Revelation, he calls it the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. It's the day instituted by God. And God in his word has given authority to move the day from the seventh day to the first day. But it has still been put in place by God. A continual command. This day of rest, and we'll be exploring that word rest in a moment. It's been given by God. Put in place by God. It's a shame in many ways that we call the day Sunday. If we were Greek, we would be calling it Kyriaki. That's the name of the first day of the week in Greek. That means Lord's Day. They still have that in place, Lord's Day. Some of you will really appreciate this if we were French. Dimanche, the name escaped me. Dimanche, what does that mean? Well, you could ask Helen, and she would tell you that comes from the Latin for Lord's Day. If we were Spanish, Domingo. That's the name of the seventh or the first day of the week in Spanish. It comes from the Latin for Lord's Day. Throughout Europe, there are nations that still call the first day of the week the Lord's Day. Isn't that why we love calling it that? The Sabbath. The Lord's Day. The day given by God. The day in which Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The day in which that eternal rest has been applied to us through Jesus Christ's victory. How wonderful. God has given this day, a day instituted or put in place by God. Then we see, secondly, that it is a day for rest. A day for rest. What is the purpose of this day? Well, God wisely gave us this day as a day of rest. It's for our good. Look at verse 15 of Exodus chapter 31. Verse 15. For 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. God has set apart this one day in seven. We're commanded to work. For 6 days shall work be done. We're commanded to be productive. We're commanded to be creative. We're told to do that for 6 days in the week. Give yourself to those normal daily routines. But the seventh, this one day is a day for rest. And that word rest is a beautiful word. It means ceasing from toil, from hardship, from labor. Here is a day that's been given for our good. Rest. It's a blessing. We should try to teach our children that this is a day of blessing. It's a day to be enjoyed and rejoiced in. We know the importance of taking rests. We know the delight of taking a rest after we've been working hard. We get to sit down, put our feet up for a short time, cup of tea or cup of coffee, a few moments' peace. Rest is a wonderful thing. We like rest. God has said to us, 6 days, work, labor, toil. But I'm going to give you a day off. I'm going to give you a day that you can rest. You can enjoy my presence without the pressures and concerns of all of those other 6 days. I'm going to give you a day that you can enjoy. A day on which you can breathe. A day on which you can enter my presence together. It's a beautiful thing. For Bezalel and Aholiab, those who were working on the tabernacle, constructing and designing, fashioning and forming. And God says, I'm going to give you a day off from that. I'm going to give you a day of rest from your labor. They're not to work on that day. You don't need to labor. You don't need to toil. Everyone in your household can rest. This day is to be a joy and a delight to us, partly because it's a day of rest, a day to be refreshed. It doesn't mean it's a day of inactivity. When I was saying we enjoy a rest, putting our feet up, cup of tea and coffee, it doesn't mean that we just stay at home all day and do absolutely nothing. There is activity in the day that God has given, but it's that activity of worship. That activity of fellowship, that activity which is our chief end, which is the greatest thing that we can be doing. We are to bring to God what He commands, and we come carefully in our worship of God. But it's a day to set aside all the concerns through the week, a rest from our usual labors where we can, from the usual struggles and hardships where we can. But it's also a day that points us to our eternal rest. to our eternal rest in Jesus Christ. In Exodus chapter 23, God instructs Moses concerning the Sabbath before promising the people of Israel that they will enter the promised land. God says they will enter the rest. And God commands them to rest because they're going to be entering a promised land. This rest that I give is going to be a picture of this land. When we come to the book of Hebrews, as we read earlier, we know that it's not the land that is the be-all and end-all, because it is just a picture of the eternal rest in Jesus Christ. It's just a picture of the place where God is bringing his people to glory, to the rest that is found in Jesus Christ. The people of Israel were to look forward to a kingdom not made with human hands, but to the heavenly reality. And this day of rest is to point them to that. It's to be a picture of that. It's to be a forerunner of that. And it's true for us. This day that God has given is a forerunner to what we will experience for all eternity. Our work here on earth will be done. It will be brought to an end. And we will be involved in that activity that is the greatest and highest activity that any human being can be involved in, that of worship. We will have it for all eternity. No hardship, no toil, no struggle, having finished our work here on earth. The Sabbath day is to be a glimpse, a little picture, to help us look forward to what we have in Jesus Christ, that eternal rest. The Sabbath day has been given by God, instituted and put in place by him. It's a day of rest that points us to our eternal rest in Jesus Christ. And then thirdly and lastly, it is also a sign. It is a sign of the covenant. There's another reason given in Scripture as to why we are to keep this day as special. Because it is a sign of the promises that God has made. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15, God says, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with an almighty hand and outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." It isn't just that God put it in place at creation, but it's also a sign of the promise. This day is a reminder that God has saved us, that God has delivered us. That's why when God is speaking to Moses here in chapter 31, he's saying, "This is a day that is holy, that will sanctify you. There is a work that I am doing in your lives." And this day matters. This day is important because it's a reminder to you that I am the God who saves, that I have entered into covenant relationship with you, that I have delivered you from slavery. And this day is to be a constant, continual reminder and sign for all the people that God is a God of grace, that God sets prisoners free. God says to Moses, it is a sign forever, verse 17. A sign not only that God is creator, that he's made us, but a sign that we are his, that he has saved us. We should therefore strive to be distinct in how we keep and use this day. This day is wonderful. This day is special. This day is to be kept set apart and separate. The end does not justify the means. We are to seek to have this day kept special in our society, because it is a sign to our society. It is a pointer to our society. It's a declaration to them that God is a God of covenant relationship who saves his people, that he provides rest, eternal rest. This day is a much needed day for our society, a much needed picture for our society. It doesn't matter that the marathon has moved from the Monday to the Sunday. Yes. Yes, it does matter. And perhaps that isn't apparent to the world, but it should be clear to us. This is a day that God has given, a day that he has set aside for our benefit, for our good, a day of rest and worship, but also a day in which God declares, "This is a sign of my covenant love. I have saved you through Jesus Christ. He is the one risen from the dead. And you have an eternity that you are headed to, of eternal rest and worship in Jesus Christ." And so what we do with this day matters. It's important. Above all, God says, "You shall keep my Sabbath," because this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. I have saved you. I am making you holy. I am bringing you to myself. Amen.